ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. This is Daniel White III, the son of Bishop Daniel White Jr., who is now in heaven, president of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House Family Devotional Reading of Charles Spurgeon's classic book titled Morning and Evening. This is the podcast, and this is episode number 517. The Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, left for us for our devotional reading today Psalm 112, 7. And it reads, "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings." Pardon me. "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord." Pardon me. How many of you remember back in the day in James City when somebody did us wrong and we would say, "I'll fix you. I'll fix you." We don't say that anymore. "I'll fix you." Well, we say that in a negative way, and this is not Spurgeon. This is me. But God, when he says, "I will fix you," he means in a positive way. Is your heart fixed? That means, is your heart, your mind, and your spirit made up that you're not going to do evil? You're going to follow the Lord and obey the Lord? You have that kind of heart? Dr. Spurgeon goes on to say, "Dear friend, you ought not to dread the arrival of evil tidings, because if you are distressed by them, what do you more than other men? Other men have not your God to fly to. They have never proved his faithfulness as you have done. And it is no wonder if they are bowed down with fear and alarm and cowed with fear. But you profess to be of another spirit. You have been begotten again unto a lively hope, and your heart lives in heaven and not on earthly things. Now, if you are seen to be distracted, as other men, what is the value of that grace which you profess to have received? Where is the dignity of that new nature which you claim to possess? Again, if you should be filled with alarm and fear," pardon me, "as others are, you would doubtless be led into the sins so common to others under trying circumstances." And that, by the way, this is what's happening with many people in the so-called church today. When everything was going well, and by the way, no country, no people have been more blessed than the American people. We got it real good. Black Lives Matter can march and fuss and raise hell all they want to. I thank God I was born in America. And I am appreciative of all that, what my people have gone through for me to be here today. And so you all can fuss and fight and have a civil war if you want to. Leave me out of it. Both of you, white and black, leave me out of the civil war. Don't come to my house talking to crazy to me. Because I know whereof I speak. I have preached the gospel all over the world. And I've seen things that you have never seen. For example, you've never seen open sewages running down the side of the roads with the chickens eating out of it. And when you ask the people, whose chicken is that? That's so-and-so's chicken. They're going to eat that in a couple of days. When they have been eating out of the open sewage. No sewage pipes on the ground. I'm talking about open sewage running down the side of the road. You haven't seen that. And you don't want to see that. God has blessed us real good, but now that things are bad, there's some so-called saints who are folding up their tents. They have given up. They're angry. They're bitter. You used to hear from them. They used to respond to you. You used to communicate together in multiple ways. But now you got some so angry, so mad at the chastisement of God and the rebuke of God, they're even mad at their own fathers, mad at their own mothers, mad at their own family members, and especially mad at the prophet who has predicted it, and make sure that it's not the prophet is not your father, because now you hate him. My wife told me she believes I'm a prophet for these times. I said, well, where's my honor? I guess you don't want to honor the prophet based upon what Jesus said, that a prophet is not without honor save in his own home, in his own household, among his own kinfolk. And so that's the way it is now. People who used to be happy, cheerful, and joyful, they have lost jobs, lost opportunities, because just like the coronavirus plague chokes the life out of individuals, God, through the coronavirus plague, is choking the life out of the once greatest country in America, slowly but surely. He's giving you space to repent. Even while he is shutting things down, he's giving you an opportunity to get saved for those of you who are not saved and repent of your sins as Christians, as you should. And we got over almost, I keep saying over, almost half of the preachers who want to quit and who have quit. If they want to quit, they've already quit. And we don't hear from some of our prosperity gospel preachers anymore. They have fallen silent, preaching their false gospel. And I'm glad. And they knew better from the get-go, many of them. And so, people are folding their tents and quitting when things are getting bad. And I told these preachers, well, don't quit now. You're going to show yourself for what you really are to the people. Don't quit when the people are not coming to church anymore. Don't quit when the money is not flowing anymore. Don't quit because you can't have your side piece anymore or your bo peep anymore, pastors' wives and Jezebels. and so-called Christian cougars. And don't quit now. I said, don't quit now. Don't show yourself for what you really are. Oh, hang on in there. Hang on in there. Don't quit on God now. Don't curse God now. Don't stop praying now. Don't stop reading the Bible now. This is the time to pray and read the Bible. If you say that's what you're going to do, and you're going to repent of your sins, stop trying to hold on to your fake, phony, prosperity, gospel foolishness that you got on credit. And go ahead on and size down and get humble and be humble and size on down and live a humble and peaceful life until God shows you something else. And while you're doing it, don't be going out here congregating with people. Because, see, that's what's going to get you sick right there. That's the reason why you're going to get the coronavirus. Want to be all gung-ho. Bless. We want to walk for the Lord in this coronavirus. And we're not going to put on any mask. And we're not getting any shots. And you're going to be dead. You hear me? God does not want to hear that. This fake and phony spirituality. Truly saved people and humble people and wise people, they are going with God's agenda. They see God moving and they're backing up and letting God have his way. God is the one who is shutting down your in-person church meetings at the church, because he does not like what he's seeing. And don't, this is not unprecedented for God. God shut down the temple. And he'll use sinners to do it. He'll use the Romans to do it. You're not going to worship me. You're going to always look at my hand and not my heart and not my face. And you're not going to obey me. I made you. I redeemed you. I gave you the opportunity to worship me. I gave you the privilege to worship me. See, you don't be thinking you're doing God a favor by going to church. Who are you? Get that out of your mind. You're not doing God a favor. You're doing your reasonable service, and you're still unprofitable in God's sight, man. You're not doing God a favor by marching down the aisle with an envelope with a dollar in it, trying to show you're behind in church, slapping on the pulpit like you're doing something. These preachers got you doing this foolishness with a promissory note in the envelope. Are you kidding me? Come on, people. You're not doing God any favors by raising up your unholy hands. You just got through committing fornication and adultery the night before, and you're going to do it after church as well with a smile. No guilt whatsoever, because you're lost. You are a terrorist in the church. You're just a whoremonger in the church. You're just a whore in the church. And I know you don't like it, but that's what we got going on. We got whoremongers in the pulpit and whores in the pulpit. And turning the people in the pews into twofold more the child of hell than themselves, laying their demonic hands on people, casting demons inside the people, instead of casting the demons out. Some of you people are doing exactly what your leader who laid hands on you has done. They're fornicators, they're adulterers and adulteresses. They're homosexuals and lesbians. Now all of a sudden you got this feeling, this thing that's in you now that you never had before, because you let some devil lay their hands on you. I've told you for years, stop letting people lay their hands on you. I don't give a flip who they are. Doctor, so-and-so, bishop, I don't care less. Do not let anybody lay their hands on you. you got people calling themselves prophets and prophetesses and evangelists and evangelists and so on, and got them laying hands. They ain't a bit more called than a man on Mars or a woman on Mars. Don't even know, some of the people don't even know God. They just have a title, and which means nothing. Everybody has a title in the church today, which means nothing. It's not about the title, means nothing. In the Bible, nobody has a title. They're named, they're called by what they do. What have you done? Nothing. You got a title. And all these titles need to be stripped from you people. Your name is Saint Derek. Okay? You're just a saint if you're saved, or you're a sinner. Your name is Derek. Your name is Bobby. Your name is Susan. That's what, you know. Sister, we can say Sister Susan if you're saved. Brother Bobby. Get rid of these titles. This is a good time to get rid of your titles. I never took a title. God spoke to my heart. Now, don't let people call you reverend and all of that. I am the only one to be reverend. I don't need for you to call me evangelist Daniel White. It's so ridiculous. Anyway. The ungodly, when they are overtaken by evil tidings, rebel against God. That's what you're doing. You are ungodly. That's why you're mad at God. You're mad at the prophet, the man of God, who has spoken the truth to you for years. I have family members mad at me. They heard me preach it for over 11 years that this judgment was going to come upon the church and upon America. This chastisement. They heard me preach it for over 11 years. And they supported me in it. They prayed for me. They helped me to do it. Now they're mad at me. Don't want to speak to me. You know why? Some of these people are devilish. Some are not saved. You're showing your true colors. You can only be saved in when things are going well. Now you're around your evil friends, and they're mad too, and they got you mad. They murmur and think that God deals hardly. With them. Will you fall into that same sin? Will you provoke the Lord as they do, murmuring, complaining, whining, bitter, angry, mad? Doing this gung-ho foolishness. We're going to go on in the name of the Lord. Later for this coronavirus plague thing, we're going to still go out here and listen to me very carefully. The Dallas Cowboys will be playing tonight, even if they had the 10 people who can't go to the game, including the head coach. See, this is ridiculous. 10 people, 9 to 10 people, are not going to be there, coaches and football players, because of the coronavirus plague. Now, even if they had those folks that they were going to lose. Because like I tried to tell you, and I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan, if you will. I'm not really a fan of anybody now, but I mean, I don't even watch. I like Steph Curry only because he's a Christian. And he gives God the glory with that finger up in the air. I watch him every now and then, and but I don't watch it. I have not watched a full game of basketball since Michael Jordan retired. And why is that? Because everybody who has seen Michael Jordan, they don't want to see anybody else. And we definitely don't want to see LeBron James. I'm glad he's out for a while. I hope he gets well. I hope he gets well, but I'm glad he's too angry. He needs to start praying while he's angry. You know, acting belligerent and acting like a monkey, jumping up in the air with his hands between his legs and all that kind of foolishness. I mean, I've never seen this in my life. What kind of curse word is this? What kind of curse are you putting on people? What kind of hex? A grown man jumping over there like a gorilla? With his legs swinging, hands swinging between his tail and his butt? I mean, what are you doing? Where's your manager at? The one who was a Dale, then he's all caught up with a Dale right now. He has left you to yourself and to your foolishness. You grabbing the referee by the arm and, I want these white people taken out of here. They're aggravating my family. Hey, boy, go sit down somewhere. See, this is why I told you that he needs to resign. Quit. Just go on, man. You did what you're going to do. You're not Michael Jordan. And Michael Jordan will never do any foolishness like that. Jumping up in the air like an ape with your hand between your butt and your leg and all this kind of stuff. What is that? You people all right? And now he's indefinitely out with the COVID protocol. How can you be, all you healthy athletes, he's the first one I ever heard who's indefinitely out. He's just gone. I'm going to tell you why he's indefinitely out. He's indefinitely out because he's been acting crazy. Something's going on, something's wrong somewhere. You say you never watched the whole game with LeBron James? No. I haven't watched a whole game of basketball or even football. But basketball, especially since Michael Jordan quit. Why? I've seen the best. Everybody knows we have seen the best. He was the best ever. He is the best ever. That's all there is to that. Even basketball players say he's the best ever. So I'm not really a fan of anything. You know, my team used to be the New York Knicks. They haven't done anything for years. I don't know what they're doing. And with the Dallas Cowboys, they were not going to win if they had the 10 people going. So here you got 10 people, right at 10 people, not going to the game at all. They're not even going to the city. They can't. They got to stay home. But I told you that Dallas is not going to go far because Jerry always getting people, you know, he's just getting people on the cheap. And he's a dealer in hope, not in winning. Jerry, whatever his last name is. He's not interested in just winning the Super Bowl. He can get less. He's making billions. He is a dealer in hope. He likes to give people hope. Hope that we're going to win. You just keep on filling them seats and buying them tickets. Why? Because Dak is a black Romo. That's what I said the other day. I don't care if you like it or not, you diehard fans. Dak is a good man. God is working on him. He's got a beautiful woman that he hopefully will marry. But he's a black Romo. That means no championships, no Super Bowls, a whole lot of talk and hype and excitement, and then sometimes non-talking. You know how the coach non-talks, Dak non-talks. They'd be saying things. Have these people ever heard of a script? They need a script in front of them. They're just fumbling around and saying things. But I hope they win. I'm a Dallas man. I've been a Dallas Cowboy man since 1968. But, you know, I'm not that into it like I used to be. But anyway, that's all free. Let's close this out. Moreover, unconverted men often run to wrong means in order to escape from difficulties. People who are not saved, they run to wrong means. They mess up their lives. They don't go to the man of God. They don't go to the father who loves them, they go to people who just want to use them. And they mess up their lives further and further while they get mad at you and get themselves in a situation where they can't get out of, and too proud to admit that they're wrong. From difficulties, and you will be sure to do the same if your mind yields to the present pressure. Trust in the Lord, isn't this deep? Spurgeon had a mother load of unction and anointing, an endless load of unction and anointing from on high. God touched him. Now this is just a verse, and this is deep. This right here, I can preach on this for a year. Trust in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Why are you not waiting on the Lord now? In the midst of this coronavirus plague, the Lord has not gone anywhere. You have gone somewhere. You have left the Lord out there being a lesbian and a homosexual, and being somebody's whore and slut, and being somebody's whoremonger, adulterers and adulteresses, pastors and pastors' wives, swinging clubs in the church, talking stupid. Well, this is keeping our marriage together. My husband is allowing me to have sex with other men in the church, Deacon Bo Peep and so forth. And it's such a loving gesture. You're a lie out of hell. Your feet ain't made and your heart pumps peanut butter. You have lost your righteous mind. Y'all better leave me alone. You've lost your mind. And you're going to hell if you truly believe that. It's just a loving gesture. My husband is right there in the room with me, watching me. That's why he doesn't want you anymore. He doesn't want you after you've been used by another man. And he, you know who he wants? He wants that man. He's a homosexual. Anybody who lets his wife have sex with another man is a homosexual, as far as I'm concerned. And I don't care if you like it or not. And don't come and try to kill me like a man tried to kill me yesterday. Leave me alone. I'm not going anywhere until God says so. Dr. Spurgeon says your wisest course is to do as Moses did at the Red Sea. Stand still and see the salvation of God. How about that? In the midst of the coronavirus plague, stand still and see the salvation of God. If you are a child of God, stand still. You might need to go down a little bit lower off your high horse, living high on the hog. And you're mad and depressed because you're trying to hold on to stuff that God does not want you to have right now. You have to adjust with God. You can't just do what your friends are doing and what people are telling you to do. You might have to sell the house. You might have to sell your car. You might have to sell some clothes on these places, you know, we hear about. There's a place, you know, that you can sell. They say you can sell your clothes and your stinking jeans and underwear and 90s and stuff like that and just make a whole lot of money. I forget the name of the place. Well, I'm wondering now, who wants your stinking drawers and stinking 90s and stinking jeans and stinking shoes? I don't know. Now, if I want something like that, I go down to Goodwill. I don't want you to send me your stuff. I don't even know if you washed it two or three times. That's nasty to me. But anyway, Spurgeon goes on to say, "For if you give way to fear when you hear of evil tidings, you will be unable to meet the trouble with that calm composure which nerves for duty and sustains under adversity. May I share with you a verse that God put in my heart many years ago? In the day, the Bible talks about, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Some of you are finding out that you are not as strong as you thought you were. You know why I do what I do? You know why I do this? Because God gave me the strength to do it. To help people who don't have the strength to do it. To help them to understand they need to pray and they need to read the Bible and they need to obey the Bible while you're going through the coronavirus plague crisis. Because many of you are not as strong as you think you are. And you need somebody to guide you and to help you. And I'm not doing this for my health. I'm doing this to do that, to do exactly that, to help you get through a difficult time. To encourage you, to strengthen you, to pray for yourself and to pray with your family and to read the Bible and to stand strong in the faith and not quit and not faint in the day of difficulty. God wired me and called me to do this because this is what people need. But preacher, it is so simple. You just pray, you read the Bible, and then you teach the Bible, then you preach the gospel, and then you you get on us about our family life from the Word of God, and it's just so simple. Your life, your philosophy is full of simplicity. But life is so complicated, preacher, and so forth. But this is what you need right here. See, this is meat and potatoes. You understand? This is going to stick with you, as the old saints used to say. This will stick to your ribs. Mm-hmm. All that fluff, aren't you tired of the fluff now? All that fluff that got you into this mess? All the hollering and screaming and raising up your unholy, ungodly hands after touching somebody's butt and they touching your butt that you're not married to and constantly doing the song and dance with each other. Full of lust. One pastor said there's so much lust going on in this place, he can smell it. And if you let that run out of control, you can smell lust. And it's slap out of control. It's been slap out of control, and pastors have allowed it to go on because the people like it. Because the church, they're not there to see God. They're there to see each other. And who they can get with. Who they can deceive. They're not there to see God, and God does not like that. God will shut the whole party down. God has done it several times in history. He has no, see, you don't understand God. So it's his church. We're his people. We're the head and not the tail. Why is he not blessing us anymore? Because you're full of hell and the devil and rebelliousness. You are adulterers and adulteresses from the pulpit to the usher. You understand? You want to do what you want to do. You want to serve God, or you want to serve God your way, and God will not have any of that. Oh, see, he taught me that a long time ago. I don't know why he has not taught you. God's not going to have that. You can't serve him your way. You're not doing God any favors. You understand me? And you follow these false preachers to this situation, which by the grace of God I have been warning you about for over 11 years, going on 12 years, probably 12 years now. And then over 5 years, every day I stood as a symbol, as a prophet, as a symbol for God, warning you that this was coming. For over 5 years. straight every day. I don't know of anybody who has ever done that before. I know I was not planning on doing it. And I know that I did not want to do that because I do love my life and I enjoy my life. And God put me in a position where I didn't have to do that. But he called me to do that and I did it. And I'm glad I did. Spurgeon goes on to say, how can you glorify God if you play the coward? Now he's just stepping today. I tell you what, my soul. Saints have often sung God's high praises in the fires. But will your doubting and desponding as if you had none to help you magnify the Most High God? Then take courage and relying in sure confidence upon the faithfulness of your covenant God. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. Amen. And may I say something that has nothing to do with this devotional? Somebody needs to tell Hannity on Fox News. Now I'm so glad he quotes Jesus. He said, let not your heart be troubled. That's what Jesus said. He needs to give Jesus credit for that. These are not his words. He needs to say, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Anyway, let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you so much for this magnificent, powerful, wonderful, true time together. Lord, I pray that you will help your people get back off of the floor and get back to serving you gladly, cheerfully, joyfully, regardless of the circumstances. This is not the time to quit and to fall apart. So Lord, help the true saints stand up and march on and do your will and not theirs. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray and for his sake. Amen. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, as he did, here's how you can be saved from the hell to come and walk with the Lord morning and evening in this life until you go to that wonderful place called heaven when you die. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty. There is a punishment for sin always. The Holy Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. If you have never trusted, if you have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have never received his free gift of salvation, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Why? Because he loves us and he wants to save us from that awful place so that we can go to heaven when we die. Jesus Christ said in one sermon in Matthew 18:8, wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable and murderers, and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, hell is bad news, dear friend, but I have some good news for you. You don't have to go to hell when you die. You can go to heaven. For Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you, "that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, he suffered, he bled, and he died for your sins and for mine and for everybody in the world. He was buried, and he rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. So, dear friend, if you want to trust Christ as your Savior today, so that you can avoid going to hell and go to heaven when you die, pray this simple prayer with me called the Sinner's Prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart, believing in your heart on Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I realize that I am a sinner and that I have done some bad things in my life. I am sorry for my sins, and today I choose to turn from my sins with your help. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose on the third day. I do believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus, for it is in your name I pray, amen. Dear friend, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com. and read my pamphlet titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trust that Jesus Christ is your Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you. Real good is my prayer.